Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Is the phone number. That's 603-283-6160. You can call in with whatever's on your mind. We already have a caller on the line. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Jay Noon.
And Riley.
And let's go to our phone calls and thoughts. And that number, if you want to join in on the conversation and bring up whatever is on your mind, again, is 603-283-6160. But we have Charles in New Hampshire. Charles, what's on your mind?
Well, basically, I'm calling in to talk about the Sununu Youth Center lawsuit, YDC lawsuit. That's one of my good friends, David Meehan, is going to trial for. And I'm John Doe number 9 in that lawsuit. And, you know, just being there changed the trajectory of my life.
And let me clarify for the listeners, the Sununu Detention Center is Chris Sununu Youth Detention Center, and it's a place in New Hampshire where they would keep, was it only boys or boys and girls?
It was boys and girls.
Yeah, so it's like a juvenile detention center, basically, in New Hampshire. I think it's still run, but there have been tons, like, I believe thousands of people that have come out and said that they were sexually abused there or even just beaten and stuff like that. So, and you say that you were there as a young person?
Yeah, I was there from 1992 to 1997. Hmm. Before that, I was in the YDSU.
How old were you at the time?
I was 11. 11 to 15 years old.
Okay.
And, yeah, it was tough. You know, I was subjected to physical and sexual abuse, broken bones.
Oh, my God.
You know, at some point, you know, I tried to take my own life. I think I was 14 or 15 just to try to get out of the year or so that I had been in solitary confinement. They were locking us. They'd lock us in solitary confinement with nothing but our underwear and a blanket. And if we talked, they'd come and beat us up. They'd open our windows up from the outside, so all the cold air would go inside there. You'd just be in there freezing, and they didn't want us to talk. It was kind of the norm for them to beat children or do things to emasculate them. The system knew what was happening. Every employee there knew that it was an abusive environment. It was systemic. The Attorney General's office knew. In fact, it was in the union leader throughout the 90s and the 2000s. State reps brought the abuse to the public, the Attorney General's office, and to the Attorney General's office. I just want to cite a couple of the dates that we got out of the union leader archives. On August 14, 2019, Michael Conley and Jane Young, they cite that there's going to be a comprehensive investigation of YDC. The union leader on November 21st, 2000, a state rep cites 15 to 20 new complaints of abuse. On April 20th, 2001, Ann Larney, which I believe worked for the Attorney General's office, cites abuse. On April 8th, 2001, state rep Patricia Dowling and Donald Shemingway, I think he was also a state rep, cites that the abuse investigation results will be in 30 days. I remember there was another December 17th, 2001. Jean Shaheen is cited in an article where they're talking about the issues at YDC. And on December 17th, Phil McLaughlin, I think of that same year, 2000, cites that YDC is under investigation for child abuse.
And why would it take over a decade? Why would it take so long if they were investigating and years are going by?
Well, this is the weird thing. In 2002, the Disability Rights Center, to 2010, they did a comprehensive investigation of YDC, and they cited systemic abuse. Kelly Ayotte was the attorney general at that time. Mm. Kelly Ayotte's looking for support right now to be the New Hampshire governor.
Yeah.
He took no action the entire time.
Whoa.
You know, if people are watching the Dave Meehan trial, it's on WMUR. It's been on for the last week or two. Wayne Eigerbrot and Virgil Bossom, one worked for the State Police and Trainings Council. The other one worked for the Internal Affairs Department. They said that they referred multiple cases for criminal prosecution. Another lady, Rochelle Edmark, testified that when she worked for the Internal Affairs Department, she wrote over 150 abuse complaints and investigated them, and all the reports are missing. You know, so it's weird that the AG's office and the state police, although they're citing these throughout the years, investigation, nothing ever transpired. Now, everything that I've told you about abuse, I can swear that under the pains and penalties of law. As far as this is concerned, it's my belief that there's a Kids for Cash scheme going on in the state of New Hampshire that's been going on for years.
Wow.
Kids that are sent to YDC and kids that are taken away from their parents, they don't receive a jury trial. So if you're a delinquent kid that catches a misdemeanor, the criminal statute says you can only be punished for up to 1 year. Kids are sent to YDC, which is a juvenile detention center. The Sununu Youth Center is a juvenile detention center.
Mm-hmm.
I was sentenced there for 4 misdemeanors for my minority until I was 18 years old. So from 12 to 18, I was going to receive a 6-year sentence for misdemeanors. It's unheard of, without a jury trial.
And without due process of law. That's another thing that Leah Cushman's committee is investigating and has been talked about, is this fact that they are without due process of law because they're doing these things, just like you said, without a jury trial, but without a court of record, and a court of record is multiple elements. So it must be a judge that's impartial,
yes.
And a judge is not impartial because, as many of us know, and in fact, I'd really like to find the evidence so we can draw this conclusion in some kind of simple 10-minute presentation, but the Judicial Pension Fund gets all kinds of money based on the performance of DCYF to essentially assess children, steal children, put them in the in the foster home, put them in these, studies, all this stuff.
Maybe it'd be as simple as just, like, pulling some FOIA requests about the Judicial Pension Fund? Or requesting them, not pulling them.
Well, maybe.
I mean, how does our Constitution provide for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness when you can take someone's children without, or liberty interests without any type of due process?
Right.
What I believe is that they're tapping into Title 42 of the United States Code and Title 20 and the Social Security Act. They're receiving federal funding, federal grants, a lot of federal grants. So there's really no incentive to give children back to their parents. There's no incentive to not send kids to these institutions because if you read the federal title and the grants, they don't just pay for to feed the child and to put clothes on these delinquent, at-risk, neglected children. They also pay for the institution of the foster care and the delinquent system, which is in essence the court clerks, the judiciary, the guardian ad litem, and even the attorneys. So when you ask yourself, how has it been so many years that so many kids have been raped and abused? Well, it's simple. There was no incentive. There was no incentive to tell an abuse because if that abuse came up in audit, now we know that we know that in order to receive federal funding, the feds have mandated audits. Mm-hmm. The head of DHHS, the head of DCYF, in order for them to send off the money to the Secretary of State or to the Attorney General's office or to the U.S. Attorney General's office asking for federal funding, there has to be audits. Who was signing off on these audits that there was no abuse? Who was hiding the abuse?
That's, I mean, this so isn't crazy, a, this considering is, it was just so commonplace that, like, I'm not from New Hampshire, but I've lived here for 3 years, and I've heard so many people tell me that, oh, well, they either were there like you and actually were being abused, and they know tons of other people that went through the same thing, or just that everybody knew about it. Like, there was people who they had to tour it for college that have told me that just, like, on the tour, it was, like, the people giving the tour were just talking about it, like, openly. And it's just, it's something that I hear about constantly, like, everyone knew about it. And you're giving all this, these examples of government people, including Jane Young, who is an FBI prosecutor or something like that. Well, yes. And all these, well, is she FBI? I don't remember. She was part of the prosecution.
She's the U.S. attorney.
Yeah, U.S. attorney.
She's the U.S. attorney right now.
And she's, like, the top one. Well, she and then also those state reps and everybody were talking about investigating it. It shouldn't be that hard. You go in there and you see what's happening. It's like, it shouldn't be that hard. So many people knew about this. It's just, if an audit is happening, is it not like a third party? Is it just like the actual people who run the place saying, yep, everything's fine? That's not what an audit means. It's just shocking that this
went on. Well, in all actuality, the New Hampshire State Police and the Attorney General's office should really be on trial right now.
Hmm.
Because you can't cite the union leader 7 times that we're investigating child abuse and nothing ever transpires. And you have over 1,400 kids right now that have lawsuits, residents of the Sununu Youth Center. So what were they doing? There's guys that are indicted. You know, there's an old saying, you can indict a ham and cheese sandwich.
Yep.
You can be indicted for just about anything. And they've only indicted 11 people.
Wow.
It should be, go ahead.
It just sounds like the people calling themselves government of New Hampshire are all about hiding things from the public and not doing anything about the abuse.
Yeah.
It seems like every institution, whether it's a government or a church, is all about hiding abuse. They're not about exposing it to the public. Maybe they just want to make it seem like New Hampshire's a nice, clean place and it's rural country living. It's a nice, laid-back area. It's all clean and pure. But if you look under the surface, like Charles is pointing out, there's a lot of disgusting nonsense going on under the surface.
And it's not just New Hampshire. This is happening everywhere that the federal government has its financial tentacles. Because just like Charles is stating, and we've talked about before, Mike Gill, he called into the show. He talked about this. Claire, I forget Claire's last name here, but any Claire?
Bess.
That's right. She called in last week. And basically mentioned a similar thing. And the example is, if you look at Ghislaine Maxwell doing 20 years in prison for basically solicitation of prostitution of children or minors or whatever, I don't know what exact charges, but yet none of her clients are being investigated. We can't know the names of her clients, and yet you got... And then you have, I read in the newspaper, it was 1,200 people, they said in the union, whatever, that 1,200 people are accusing basically of being abused in the YDC. And then you have this committee to investigate DCYF started by Leah Cushman. And Leah Cushman's like, okay, we see where the committees went wrong before. When it came to investigate this stuff, we had no testimony under oath. We need testimony under oath or it's useless. So she allows for there to be oaths. In fact, one of the other board members brought it up at the first hearing. You can watch it on YouTube there. And one of the other committee members said, I motion the committee to put everyone under oath. And then one of the Democrats is like, oh, no, that's not necessary, blah, 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 because, the Democrats are playing cover. A bunch of Republicans, anybody who's, addicted to this federal money is wanting to cover this up. Actually, anyone who has a pension that is a government pension in the state of New Hampshire wants this covered up because the amount of money that the pensions get, the judicial pension fund and other executive pension funds get, from what I understand, I'm not an accountant, but I put a guy to work on this, and he's still working on it. But basically, he said if that Title IV money or Title 42 money or Title 20 money, there's all, and now I'm finding out there's like so much money coming in from the feds. It's unbelievable, and it's coming in from all different directions, all different titles, all different programs. If that money gets cut off, these pension funds are insolvent. They're basically all the government pension funds, according to Robert Kiyosaki, who's the rich dad, poor dad guy. They're all insolvent, and basically they would just collapse if they don't get the federal money. And all this money comes out of the Social Security Administration, so they're saying, oh, Social Security's running out. One report I had read said in 2021 that the Social Security Administration forked out $492 million for part Title 4D, which is the judicial pension fund, is 66% of that money, I guess. $492 million is what the Social Security Administration dispersed to the 50 states through just Part E of the Title 4 program, or Part D of the Title 4 program. Never mind A, B, C, E, F, G, H, all these others. But anyways, and then so they kick Leah off this committee because the Sherman Packard, the Speaker of the House, kicks Leah off this committee because of the oaths. And now they're not asking to do oaths because these guys do not want a real investigation to happen. Sherman Packard is part of this conspiracy to cover up the crimes of DCYF. I am sure if you start looking at the dollars somewhere, somehow, I don't know if either, you know, it's his donors or his friends or him personally or family members, or, you know, the guy's just a statist cult member parasite, you know, and, you know, whatever. And he wants to see the state thrive and all these pension funds, you know, be nice and propped up. So all the people on the judicial pension fund and the executive pension fund, you know, have these fat, happy golden parachute pensions that are, you know, essentially, you know, being propped up by the, you know, guns being directly pointed at taxpayers to support these. And also, now we know that the direct torture of children, the stealing of children, the violation of due process laws, the violation of, you know, constitutional rights, the violation of a right to a jury trial. I mean, all of these elements that is being talked about with all this stuff with DCYF, we can find them all in the grievances of the founding fathers and why they had to have a Revolutionary War with, you know, a tyrannical government, you know, 200 some odd years ago. And so this union is almost 250 years old, and it's ready to collapse because governments don't really last that long throughout history. And I'm hopeful for a collapse because these parasites, they have just so much power, frankly, because they can just keep on printing money out of thin air. But, yeah, they are hell-bent on making sure that there is no testimony under oath. It is so important that people, when people utter these words about what happened to them, they say, you know, I do solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me, Great Spirit or God or universe or whatever you want to say. And because that is sworn testimony that can actually be used to do something. And so it's continuing right now. There is a cover-up happening, you know, soft cover-up happening right now with a current. And they're supposed to have a meeting, I believe, on the 1st, and I don't know the exact schedule for this committee to investigate DCYF. And since they got Erica Layton is her name, and since she got in there, was appointed chair. And I don't know if she's just, you know, there to romance the stone and make everything look good, or if she actually really cares. But I don't know what the deal is with her. I just don't really have an opinion. But there's still, as of, I haven't gotten an email. I'm looking through my email right now, and they're like, you know, they're supposed to email me. I gave her my email. When are you going to have the next hearing? Because at these hearings, they only want to hear 10 minutes. Well, I got a lot of bad actors to tell this committee about. You know, 5 social workers, 2 lawyers, for example. And, you know, I need, you know, at least 7 or 8 more hearings to get through all the stuff I just got to tell them at 10 minutes at a whack under oath. And they haven't had another hearing. And I think they're trying to push it so there's no more hearings and you know, and then the session's done and it's all over.
Weird.
Who knows? That's, so that's there needs to be a hearing date. In fact, I'm going to text Erica, the committee chair, about that again.
Well, I've never heard of it. It is an election year, so maybe they're trying to push things off to make it seem like they're pushing under the rug to hide things so that they don't have to deal with it until the next administration comes in. And they're like, oh, we
that
don't
sounds like that could be the case, but that's I'm surprised that that's even a tactic they can do. But so I just think let's put this in perspective of, you know, the this happening all over the country. People are getting their kids taken away for maybe they are bad parents. But they're taken and given to the state, which is almost never a better situation for children than being with their own parents. And even if it's better than being with their own parents, the government is then abusing them and getting paid to do it. The government of each state gets paid from the feds to literally traffic children. That's exactly what this is taking kids from their parents and giving them to other people at a profit. That's trafficking. And at the age of the age that Charles was in this detention center, I feel like he should have been able at some point to just emancipate himself and go, you know, live, you know, doing small jobs or something, like live on a farm and work for his living or something, and like anyone would be better off doing that. It's just crazy to act like people who are 15 years old don't have the same rights that an 18-year-old does. It's so silly. I just think that if you're not able to live with your parents are truly unable to take care of you, and you don't have any family you can go to, and you're old enough to choose to make other decisions, you should be allowed to do that. But the government keeps people from doing that, has people in these detention centers all over the country, these juvenile detention centers, usually what I hear them called, and who is stopping them from being abused? It's obviously not the people who work there, because nobody there is their parents who care about them and love them, or their families. A lot of people, there's so many people I meet, like every year I meet tons more of people that have their kids taken away from them when they really love their kids and they were trying to get them back. It's just absolutely ridiculous.
So I just wanted to point out to you a couple of these conflicts. Like as of right now, if anyone tunes in and watches the Dave Meehan trial, or the Sununu sex, torture trial that's on TV, their prosecutor right now, his name is, Chase. I want to see. Brandon Chase. He's the assistant attorney general. It is the attorney general's office that has taken Dave Meehan's statements and actually indicted people.
So that's the bumper music. Do you have time to stay on the line with us?
Yes, I'll stay on.
Okay. It's Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. Right now we're talking about the Sununu Youth Detention Center and the trial with over 1,000 kids claiming they were tortured and raped there. 603-283-6160. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA News Update. The Supreme Court deliberating on whether Donald Trump is immune from criminal prosecution for actions he took while in office, focusing on federal election interference charges. Your special counsel attorney, Michael Dreeben.
The framers knew too well the dangers of a king who could do no wrong. They therefore devised a system to check abuses of power, especially the use of official power for private gain.
Trump's attorney argued that prosecuting a president for official acts is incompatible with the Constitution. Economic growth in the U.S. during the first quarter of the year was significantly slower than expected. The Commerce Department's latest figures show the gross domestic product increased by just 1.6%, short of the forecast of 2.4%. And San Diego has become the top city for illegal immigrant arrivals at the southern border for the first time since the late 90s, surpassing Tucson, Arizona. John Schaefer, USA News.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
And 603-283-6160 is the number you can call. That's 603-283-6160. And we're going to get back on the line with Charles in a second, who's holding. But Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, digital cash. With fees of less than a penny per transaction, Dash is made for spending. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Mai protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at Dash.org. That's Dash.org. And with you in the studio tonight on Free Talk Live, you've got me, Bonnie.
Jay Noon.
And Riley.
And Charles is online with us. He said that he had more that he wanted to say about this whole... If you haven't heard, if you're in New Hampshire, then you're probably living under a rock. There is this huge story about this thing called the Sununu Detention Center, where they hold Sununu Youth Detention Center, where it's basically a juvenile detention center, and it's been around for decades, but it's actually named after the dad of the current governor, whose last name is also Sununu. So it's been around for a really long time, and there's currently a trial going on because 1,400 kids, or people who I guess used to be kids at least, are suing different officers. Or Charles, are you guys suing the officers themselves, or who's actually the defendant?
We're suing the officers. Some of the officers. I'm suing Jeff Buskey, Tommy Searles, Richard Brown. There's a slew of other guys, Stephen Murphy, Lamont Hicks. There's about 1,400 ex residents of the Sununu Youth Detention Center that are suing DHHS, DCYF, the state of New Hampshire for systemic abuse. Now, the state is attempting to cover this up, and we know that because New Hampshire is a mandatory reporting state, and if anyone watched Dave's trial, the ex-internal affairs officer and another officer just testified that they referred complaints to the state police. Well, they won't release any of the state police reports. Where are all these reports from the 90s? Who didn't do their job in the attorney general's office? But even bigger than that, we attempted to get my records from a doctor, William Windler. He was one of two doctors that worked at YDC from like 1990 to the 2000s. And they've destroyed all of the medical records. You know, broken bones, with girls pregnant, kids that got STDs while they were there, destroyed all of the records. There is no medical records. There's still nurse reports, and this is where they've messed up, because some of the nurse reports explain broken bones. There's also log reports where they log out vehicles to transport kids to the hospital and the medical facilities, and on some of those reports, they've actually placed what the injury is. So they've destroyed the medical records. They either won't give their suppressing or they've destroyed the state police reports from back then. And even right now during trial, Brandon Chase is the assistant attorney general. And here he is trying to gaslight my good friend David Meehan. And he's trying to say, you had mental illness. You were a wild kid. Well, he's on the stand. Wow. But yet, the other half of the attorney general's office has used what Dave has told them to indict. To indict. That's why not once during this trial have they said, Dave, you're lying. Dave, we're impeaching you. Instead, they're trying to gaslight him and make him look like he's vicious. This same guy, Brandon Chase, okay, he's actually right now representing, he's representing the ex-top child sex crimes detective James McLaughlin and trying to hide the misconduct in that case called John Doe versus the City of Keene. So this is our attorney generals. They're fighting not to open up the Lori list, not to expose, you know, malfeasance and corruption. You know, it's obvious now, not just through that, but Chuck Douglas, who was the head of the judiciary, was the chief justice at one point, was the first one that really let New Hampshire know. I think it's in Jane Doe versus New Hampshire, State versus Jane Doe, where he actually allows for delinquent kids and foster kids, at-risk kids, to all be mixed together. And New Hampshire does this because the towns, the cities, in the school departments, we're all pointing the finger at who's going to pay for these delinquent children, who's going to pay for these special needs children, these at-risk children. And that's the first showing in 1981 where he groups them all together because he knows he can tap into the Social Security Act. Fast forward four decades, he's now representing kids in the YDC Sununu Youth Center lawsuit saying, hey, come over here. I'll represent you. We'll go get you part of that settlement fund. We'll tap into the settlement fund. We'll get you paid. They don't really – the same people that were in charge of hiding this, suppressing this misconduct, are the same people now that are tapping into trying to hide it now. And it's sad. It's sad because they're out there, you know, they're wolves in sheep clothing trying to act as if they're there to help us. You know, if it wasn't for, you know, our grassroots people that are out there that are raising the stink, they're out there, you know, trying to push petitions. Obviously, Leah, we need to get her back in her position. I don't know if you guys know Therese Bastarash, Therese the nurse. I know she's running for executive council next year. She would be great just because she loves children. This is a nonpartisan thing. If you're against pedophilia, if you're against child sex trafficking, then we need to link arms, you know, in solidarity to overthrow this establishment. This establishment that's been in power in New Hampshire for decades and decades that, they've been hiding corruption and child abuse and framing people. And
it's just so obvious to me that the government, the cops don't work for us, and neither do the attorney generals and those people that are more higher up. They work for each other, and they're in their own class, and they want to keep the benefits that they have coming and not let the people that they believe are underneath them that actually work and, not just work, but are, produce things in life for other people and are productive. Well, I don't believe that the government does any of that stuff, and it's really them against us in their minds. That's why they have their little blue line. Because they believe that they're gang signs. It's really a gang sign.
Of course. And it also sounds to me like the Sununu family is a really corrupt family.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely true. I watched Frank Staples' trial for getting arrested in front of Chris Sununu's house. And he had his... I was there when he got arrested, the day he got arrested. And he had his neighbor come and say that we, the protesters... were blocking her driveway and screaming so loud that it was like, nobody could sleep and stuff in the neighborhood. Like, none of that was true. she said she was feared for her life that day when there were just people in there's like a field in the middle of the cul-de-sac. That's the only place that the protesters went, including Frank, and he got arrested that day. And, I just think that he, like, paid his neighbor to say that. She just looked like she was lying, too. Those people are also crazy.
Yeah.
And he also lied. Oh, go ahead.
That's all they do is lie. And and unfortunately, a lot of them are attorneys, or they have the most. You'll notice one thing: you can't find an attorney in this state that is going to challenge challenge the Attorney General's office.
You're so right.
No matter what it is.
They don't want to challenge the court in them itself because then they would be disbarred or just like in trouble with the judge. Because really, attorneys literally work for the court. They swear an oath and they're, what is the word? They're not justices, they're
officers of the court.
Right, right. So they don't work for you even though you're the one paying them. And it's going to be you're going to be hard pressed to find ones that'll actually stand up for what's right if it's against the government as like the system that it is, instead of just making arguments against this person did this to me like private people. They'll do that all day, but you're going to be hard to find it's going to be hard for you to find a lawyer that will actually challenge something the government's doing because really they all work together. It's the cops, the attorneys, the judges. The general attorney generals, and then the feds come in here too, and they give the state people money to do certain things. And like you're saying, the feds are saying, "Oh, we require an audit of these facilities," but clearly they don't require a very good audit because everybody knew what was going on at the Sununu Youth Detention Center. Lots and lots of people did apparently, and somehow it just all slipped past an audit or several audits. So. Did you have anything else you wanted to share with us, Charles?
Just that, I hope that we can link arms and unite, nonpartisan. I know that you guys have your mission, but as far as this child abuse and sex trafficking, this is going to take a movement. And if we don't stick together to replace these people, it's not going to. We're not going to get the job done. The only thing we can do is replace them. We need to replace them.
Well, not only replace, we got to eliminate these positions of power because these positions of power attract psychopaths. So the kind of people that are attracted to a job at a youth detention center are quite literally psychopaths. I mean, they are people who lust for power. They are people who want to do bad things, who want to abuse. And even like with the DCYF social workers, I mean, they're a bunch of woke, mentally ill libtards that, don't have children that want to control my children and want to control everyone else's children. And they want access to them and they want to teach them their, they want to give them their mental, their woke virus. They want to transfer transfer it to these children. They're doing it through the schools, doing it with all these things. But yeah, we need massive, cutting of government, and they're not even government. You know, the DCYF, it's a municipal corporation. That's all it is. It's not even the government. They don't even call themselves a government or anything. They call themselves a division of the state of New Hampshire, and the state of New Hampshire is just a municipal corporation. There is a state of New Hampshire Republic, but, you know, that's not really doing anything. Nobody's really occupying it. Nobody's, you know, claiming. You even ask judges in any of these courts, circuit court, superior court, family court, are they working for the state of New Hampshire Republic or the state of New Hampshire Corporation? And they get very upset when you ask them that, when you ask them those questions. A friend of mine just had a judge tell him that the jurisdiction of the court is statutory. So that's another thing. If the people are guaranteed a right of due process, then the presumption must be that the people have waived due process when dealing with these courts and DCYF, because when they're using statutory law, that is anti-due process. Charging anyone with a statute, any of the people with a statute, violates due process, because due process is exclusively without the statutes. Because the statutes are only for government entities and government contractors. So unless all these people they're charging are government entities, government contractors, or have willingly and knowingly waived their rights to due process, but nobody's smart enough to ask these questions because nobody's smart enough to even defend themselves. Everybody just gets lawyers. And like you said, the lawyers are... they're your enemy spies. The judge is your enemy. The prosecutor is your enemy. And the lawyer is an enemy spy.
They'll go into the chambers and have a conversation without you.
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's a quote from Erwin Rommel. When I was a teenager, my dad was doing this Erwin Rommel law study thing, and he had a briefcase full of cassette tapes, and we'd be driving to a horse auction, and we'd listen to hours of the Erwin Rommel School of Law. And anyways, but yeah, these guys are—they're all part of a cabal. And it's a whole bunch of Republicans in this too. And Charisse Grinnell—not Charisse Grinnell. There's a whistleblower named Ashley Rosato or Rosati. If you look up New Hampshire DCYF whistleblower Ashley Rosati or Martin and Hipple, they were the lawyers that represented her in a civil suit against the state of New Hampshire because she was terminated for being a whistleblower. And you read her articles, and she talks about how it's a play to get along, so you can work up the corporate ladder, work up the state ladder, get higher ranks. So you look at this federal attorney, U.S. district attorney. What's her name? You guys have mentioned her before.
Jane Young.
So Jane Young was before she was a district attorney. She was involved somehow else, right? You were talking about.
She was. Yeah. Are you saying with the Inns case?
No, with what Charlie was talking about with the youth detention center.
Oh, he said that she was one of the people that said that she was investigating it, right?
Yeah, she was a county attorney, and then she went over to the attorney general's office, and then she became like assistant attorney general. And now she's at the U.S. attorney general's office. She's the top over there.
So it sounds like she got handsomely rewarded and. For just getting along and going along with the status quo, for not really investigating, because this is how they find corrupt people to put in power. They say, oh, so a bunch of kids are getting raped and beaten and abused. Why don't you just let that go, and then we're going to work you up, the parasite ladder, and you're going to be a top parasite in this parasitic cult that we call the United States government.
And she dresses like all extravagantly and has like the biggest hair you've ever seen. Like, her hair is like bigger than her head.
Wow, that's crazy.
Like one of the lead psychopaths in the Hunger Games.
Yeah, seriously.
Stuff. Yep.
Yeah, I thought that was really weird when I saw her. I was like, that's her.
So when you ask the attorneys, how come it seems so non-adversarial? You know, you're not really challenging. You're not filing that these prosecutors that are violating their ethical obligation or the Supreme Court rules, and they'll tell you, we handle things on a collegiate level. We're not very adversarial because we handle things on a collegiate level. That's what they say. It's disgusting, you know?
Yeah, like they're like laughing with the prosecution right before the trial starts. They're like, hey, Georgie, oh, you look good today. How are you doing? How are the kids? And like, and you're like, what is going on? That's my lawyer laughing with the prosecution.
Yeah, your lawyer is an enemy spy. Just remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
So, I run a little Facebook page. It's ran through Ashley George. It's at Real Just Us. So R-E-A-L space J-U-S-T-U-S, like Just Us, at Facebook.com. And we go out and we rally to let the public know that the government is complicit for decades of abuse of children and to show them how. We'll be rallying again within the next month and a half, and I know that some of the We the People will be out there, and there's a couple people from the ACLU, which they kind of, as many people as possible. We need as many people as possible. It's nonpartisan. It's just the page is comprised of almost all YDC victims or victims that were in state care, and we know what's going on. We know exactly what's going on, but a lot of times the public don't, and until the public does and people are willing to maybe go out there and do some voter engagement, we're not going to win this battle. So we'll be out there within the next month or so. That's pretty much all I got. I want to thank you guys for letting me come on your show.
Thank you so much for your call. Hopefully people will go check out Real Just Us at Facebook.com. And thank you for everything that you're doing out there. I think it's always good when people are pointing out what happened to, you know, personally happened to them, like Charles, and also just what's going on, what the state is doing. Because a lot of people just, since it's out of sight, out of mind, they just don't know about it. And they, the more people talking about this kind of stuff, I do think it's important. I don't know all these details, or I'm not like very familiar with the case. A lot of times it's just like I know so much bad stuff about that the government's doing that it just feels like just filling my brain with junk to like go learn about every single like cop abuse and every single, you know, dirty detail with this youth detention center. But I still really appreciate people calling in and telling their stories, because
it's definitely depressing that. Mm-hmm. We live in a world where government corruption is the norm, and people aren't surprised by it. But we should be living in a world where people are extremely surprised and extremely shocked by government corruption, shocked enough that they can remove these punks from office.
Yeah, I wish people, were a bit more shocked about it. Well, one case about, rape that was very interesting to people was Harvey Weinstein's case, yep. Weinstein's case. And I find it kind of interesting that people care more about, you know, Hollywood celebrities getting raped.
Well, the Hollywood celebrities are more noticeable. They're more upfront. They're I don't know how to put it, but they're the people that are going to get the most views or the most likes, the most clout on the internet or the world in general, because they're in the movies, they're doing all these things, and people want to be like them for whatever reason. I don't understand it. Maybe that's just me. But it's just strange that Hollywood sets the tone for society.
It kind of does. A lot of people say that life imitates art, and yeah. I see it all the time. Like, when I was a third grader, that was the first year I was in public school, which I was 9 and, like, everybody else was 8 because my mom had me redo third grade. She was like, oh, I'm afraid I didn't do well, but then I did very well. Like, it was easy to me. But what I was trying to actually say was it was my first year in programming, a.k.a. public school.
Government school.
I could just see all of, yes, the government school. I could see all of these little weird behaviors from the other kids that I never had seen before. Like, I just knew when they were copying, like, a cartoon character that I knew about, I'd be like, whoa, she's literally saying, like, the stuff that Raven from Teen Titans says. She is literally, like, she has adopted that personality. Why won't she just be herself? And I was only 9 years old. But people do that all the time, even now, with, like, movies that they've seen, their favorite shows. They kind of integrate their favorite characters' personalities. It's literally programming. Like, it's how they program you to live and behave. It's weird.
And with Hollyweird shaping society, I mean, that's only for, you know, like, the parents that are, you know, putting their kids in front of the TV. Like, when I was a little kid, a lot of the, when I was in, you know, grade school, you know, I had a farm to go to every day after school, which was, you know, pretty awesome, you know, growing up the way I grew up. But I had a lot of buddies, you know, they went to daycare after school, or they went home and, you know, and they just sat in front of the TV and played video games, or sat in front of the TV and just watched TV until their parents came home, or their parents were, you know, their parents either worked or were on welfare, but they were just usually watching TV. Except for the kids that were raised by the entrepreneurs. All my peers that their parents had businesses, they usually went after school on a weekend. They were working with their parents at the business, which, you know, one of my buddies, his father had an oil company, Noonan Oil, and they're actually pretty huge company, Teddy Noonan, and he was one of these kids that went to work every day after school.
I always thought that sounded so fun as a kid. I always was like, I wish that my dad, like, go into a restaurant and I could work there with him as a kid, because kids actually want to do that kind of stuff, but my dad didn't work for the private sector.
I had another buddy that his parents owned a restaurant, and every day, and he rode the school bus, you know, every day. He got dropped off at the restaurant after school, and his house was at a different spot in town, and he got picked up. And I do remember that there was, like, the school or whatever was like, well, we can't be doing that, you know, just dropping them off. I mean, it's not like it was any extra cost. But and then I have another friend. He grew up paving, and now he owns a big paving company. His father had a paving company, and, you know, these kids of entrepreneurs worked really hard, but they didn't get manipulated so much by Hollywood like the kids who were just stuck home. And the thing is now what's worse than Hollywood is the algorithm, the internet. You know,
it's like written by AI now, and the people who are supposed to write are going on strike because of AI. All you're doing is giving your jobs directly to the AI. But
yeah.
603-283-6160 is Free Talk Live. You can call in with whatever's on your mind. There's news in the Harvey Weinstein rape conviction. It was overturned in New York, and we're going to talk about that when in the next segment. 603-283-6160. Don't go anywhere. It's Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
I need to pay my taxes. What are my payment options?
The IRS has several options for paying your taxes. You can pay with IRS Direct Pay, a debit or credit card, or with an electronic funds withdrawal when you e-file your return. If you can't pay the full amount, consider paying over time with an online payment agreement or our Offer in Compromise program. Both tools are available on IRS.gov. Go to IRS.gov/payment to find an option that is best suited for you.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be just like Cal Ripken. It's definitely humbling to know that now people are calling me a hero. Instead of finding the IED with my metal detector, the IED found me first, and that resulted in double above-knee amputations. It's hard to describe the feeling of meeting somebody that you've always wanted to be like. There are people now that are looking up to you for their inspiration and to be their role model.
Visit saluteheroes.org to learn more.